Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta. I should warn you that our next conversation contains mature material and discussions of rape. If you like dark comedy, you'll probably like Jenna Friedman. Her fellow comedian Brock Wilbur describes Jenna as the comedian who occupies a spectrum of comedy so dark it is almost impossible to see her. So does Jenna agree?
You know, I would prior to 2016. I think now our country's darkness has, like, caught up with me. I think I'm just kind of talking about what's happening, and I used to get a lot of comparisons to, like, Edward Gorey if he were animated a little bit more.
Are you an Edward Gorey fan?
I love Edward Gorey, yeah.
You've said that comedy is both art and entertainment. Can you explain what you mean by that?
The entertainment aspect is just that we need other people to do what we do. I have always been envious of visual artists or musicians because I think they can create in a closed environment, but comedians need an audience to know if our jokes are funny. We need an audience to make our art. It's varying degrees of art, you know, depending on the type of comedy you want to do. If you want to make people laugh all the time, I think it's more entertainment. If you want to make people laugh but also maybe challenge them, it's a little closer to art. There's also spoken word, which I fall into if nobody laughs, and you're just an artist.
The art side of the equation in comedy is very important to you, I think, because you really do want to make people think about things.
Yeah, I mean, it's not funny to talk about your motivations like that, especially in this moment. We still have free speech to some degree. Why not use it? You gotta flaunt it while you have it. I don't know.
You've said that your favorite comedians are able to make sense of things that the rest of us have trouble understanding. Can you point to an example from your own comedy that helps make sense of things? Maybe something from your set on Conan O'Brien's show last year?
I feel silly kind of talking about my own stuff in that way, but when you did mention the Conan set, I think it was this moment after Charlottesville. I was so sad, and you're watching these guys with AR-15s exercising their free speech, and there was a lot of debate about what do we do? Do we let Nazis speak publicly while they're exercising their free speech? And a lot of comedians and different takes actually had, you know, people were like, don't punch Nazis. And so I was trying to understand it and find comedy in it. And being Jewish, I do feel like I have license to kind of go a little further regarding Nazis. Here's my advice. If you see a Nazi on the street, don't punch him, but maybe lightly harass him. Catcall him. Tell him to smile. If any Nazis work for you, pay them less. Take credit for their ideas. Except that one.
That was a really great set, and you talked about Nazis. You had some great jokes about men at the beginning. It was very funny and very smart.
What a weird time we're living in. I just hope all this Trump stuff doesn't make it even harder in the future for men to become president. Poor men. Oh, poor men. You guys have had a rough couple weeks. I love men. One of my best friends is a man. I'm actually half man on my dad's side. So thank you. I get it. You know, it's a rough time. But lately, I've developed a very rational fear of men based on how you portray yourselves in person. Like if I'm walking down the street and I see a group of businessmen, I don't know what the term is, like a fraud. If I see a scam of men in suits coming towards me, I'll find that I'll just instinctively clutch my purse and be like, don't grope me, you know? Don't grope me, I'm awake. Sometimes hard issues need a light touch. I'm Jenna Friedman, and this is Soft Focus.
Let's talk about your Adult Swim series, Soft Focus. The show finds you talking to real people out in the field. Where did this idea come from?
Well, I worked at The Daily Show. I was a field producer there. And even prior to that, I was doing field pieces, and I have some interviews online that are quite dated where I talk to different characters in the world. I just like that stuff. I like combining comedy with real people. It's funnier to me when it's unscripted. It just feels relevant in a way because you're actually talking to people.
Can you tell me a bit about the story about campus rape in the debut episode of Soft Focus? It's not like any other story about the subject that I've ever seen.
So that episode is on YouTube. If you Google Soft Focus campus rape, you'll find it. Adult Swim is like a real comedy network. They do a lot of experimental stuff. A lot of their audience are kind of younger guys. And I just wanted to find an actually funny way to talk to them about that subject.
Mm-hmm.
So the segment, it's kind of making fun of the investigative journalist, the intrepid reporter who is trying to uncover things but maybe isn't as above board as she should be. But ultimately, like, I just wanted to, like, sugarcoat ideas about consent and have people talking about consent. And it is such, like, a lightning rod of a topic.
To flesh it out a bit, you had these fraternity members, these three guys, and you incorporated the sex dolls by saying they were no consent dolls.
Meet your new friend, cannot consent Carrie. Cannot consent Carrie, cannot consent, because she cannot speak. You are to take her around with you. Show her a good time like you would any new friend or incoming freshman girl. But most importantly, treat her with respect and make sure your friends do the same. Any questions?
So we really have to carry them around for like the next couple days?
Good question, yes. They're quite heavy, but not as heavy as the emotional burden that rape victims must carry around with them at all times.
Your fellow comedian Jen Kirkman has an important comment about rape in her Netflix stand-up special, Just Keep Living, which you've mentioned in interviews. Jen said,
rape exists, and I'm going to talk about it. That's not a rape joke, that's a rape fact. And I'll stop talking about rape when men stop raping everybody, so don't give me a little outrage. Ooh,
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because I have a joke that is inspired by experience that has to do with date rape. Not my own experience, but I did actually have a job interview a while ago with a guy who had, like, date raped a friend of mine. And then I wrote a joke about it, and I've been trying to get that on late night, but the general consensus is we can't air that. I think that men are afraid to air things because a rape joke from a female perspective is a completely different joke than from a male perspective. And even if you're a woman on late night as a guest on someone's show, it's still filtered through the lens of the host.
Yes.
It would be cool if there were female hosts in late night as well, so that I think some of the jokes that might be uncomfortable coming from a male host show would be seen in a different context coming from a female host show.
Definitely. Late Night with Jenna Friedman has a nice ring to it, don't you think?
Sure, why not?
In 2013, New York was gripped by the case of the cannibal cop, an NYPD police officer who plotted to eat his wife and her friends online, with harmless quotes like, "I want her to experience being cooked alive," and, "I am not into the humane stuff either. It's personal with Andrea. She will absolutely suffer." He has since served time in prison, and he's even written a book about his experience. Here to talk about it, the cannibal cop himself, Gil Valle.
I remember following his story and thinking it was fascinating because it was really just about, can you be prosecuted for thought crimes? And the reality is he did at one point do something that fell under the, I guess, definition of conspiracy to commit murder.
Mm-hmm. But he never acted on it, right? And he was actually acquitted, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. After 7 months in solitary confinement, which we glossed over because that's never very funny, I saw an article about him in the New York Post, Bastion of Journalism, about how he was dating again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I wanted to talk to him. Because if you're dating again and you are the cannibal cop, I want people to know that. It was almost like a public service announcement. And he was a really good sport, and all of that was unscripted, and not enough people saw it, and it's one of the funniest things I think I've ever done. How do you distinguish mm-hmm. between somebody plotting to cook people for fun and someone plotting to cook people for business?
What distinguishes a fantasy plot from a real plot are real life actions.
And there was only one instance where you where you plotted to meet someone and you did.
Well, right, the female in Maryland.
Yeah. Do you guys still keep in touch?
No, I haven't spoken to her.
You're never gonna eat women.
Never gonna eat women. It was all a fictional fantasy. I would never dream of doing anything without anybody's consent.
Well, you could dream it, but that's not a crime.
We made sure, because it was unscripted, we kind of ambushed him with a dating game.
Today is your lucky day, because you are on Meet Your Match.
Was that an idea that came a little later on in your creative process when you were planning this?
No, that was immediately the first idea. I didn't even know if we were going to do an interview.
Oh,
but
interesting.
The thing that did kind of come about later was the idea that we wanted one of the women in the dating game to actually be somebody who would date him. So at the last minute, we're like, put an ad out on like a fetish website where like find a woman who likes drinking blood or something. And it played out beautifully because she actually, like, again, no one knew who he was. They really thought that they were contestants on a dating game, which they were.
And finally, we have Ashua. She's a singer and actor with a BS in criminal justice.
I can relate to that.
It's not your turn to talk. Okay, Alice, what's your question for Gil?
Gil, would you describe yourself as conservative in the bedroom or willing to try new things?
Definitely willing to try new things.
Claiborne, ask away.
Gil, what's more important in a relationship, trust or lust?
Trust, every time, absolutely. It's important to be open and honest, and that was my mistake in my marriage.
Shh, don't talk about your exes.
Okay.
You've been working in comedy for, what, I think 15 years now. How do you think the comedy industry has changed for women over that time?
It's definitely gotten a lot better. Just from like 2004 to 2016, it really was like this one tiny space in our culture that I could see actual change happen. Comedy became more inclusive, more feminist. It was exciting, and it's still exciting.
That's comedian Jenna Friedman. The second installment of Soft Focus premieres on Adult Swim on January 25th at 11 p.m. Central Time. You can find out more about Jenna at wpr.org/beta. That does it for this edition of Beta. If you want to hear it again or binge on past episodes, subscribe to the Beta podcast via iTunes or wherever you catch your favorite pods. You can keep up with us during the week online at wpr.org/beta or on Twitter at @WPRBeta. Beta is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Red Meat Productions. Our technical and music director is Steve Gotcher.
Hey, buddy, turn it down!
Our executive producer is Adam Friedrich.
Look, you can get around with me, okay? But not many other guys are there. Gotta maintain respect.
And thanks to you, our alphas. Until next week, I'm Doug Gordon.
What are you, a bad guy once you get to know him?